Holy Spirit, we just pray right now that you're guiding and directing every word out of every teacher's mouth in this place. That every one of us teachers are submitted to you. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. What an awesome God we serve. My lovely wife did not tell me about what she was going to do this morning, so that's really kind of thrown me off a little bit. One love. Galatians 5 and verse 13. Galatians 5 verse 13 in the New Living Translation, it says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature." Don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Wow. This verse right here, this verse kind of helps us, you know, that praise God, yes, Jesus Christ, He's given us freedom. But He has not given us freedom so that way we can do whatever we want, however we want, whenever we want. This verse is pretty clear because it says, don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. The purpose for our freedom isn't so that way we can do the things that, boy, you know, our sinful nature wants to do. Our freedom is there so that way we can love others. And how are we doing that? You know, last week we were looking at how that love can look differently. How are we using the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ to be serving others in love? Are we at all? Are we sometimes? Are we every once in a great while? Or are we doing it every chance we get? That's awesome. We've been called to live in freedom. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Are we serving others because we love them? And again, man, sometimes that love is a real, you know, good, feel-good kind of love. And other times, man, it's a tough, hard love sometimes. Sometimes that love is real easy to give out, you know, because, you're the good guy. And then there's other times, man, where that love that you give out, you don't appear to be the good guy right there. In John 15, starting with verse 9. And this is in New Living Translation. It says, this is Jesus talking. He's like, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. That's interesting. If that word remain, that's a choice. We can choose to remain in his love. He's saying right here, Jesus is saying, he's giving a command basically. He's stating it, you know. He's like, right here, remain in my love. You is understood there. Wow. Remain in my love. Verse 10. Let's go verse 10. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Oh, praise God. He's just given us a definition of how we can remain in his love. By doing what he's told us to do. He says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. This is so awesome. Jesus is such an awesome leader because he's telling us right here, hey guys, I'm not expecting you to do anything that I have not done. What he's saying right here, he's saying, hey guys, follow my example. Do just as I did. This is awesome. Next verse. I have told you these things. This is so awesome. He has not told us that if you keep my commandments, you'll remain in my love, so that way you can be miserable all your life. This is so incredible. The reason that he told us this, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. That doesn't sound like a downer right there. He's told us, hey, people, listen to me. Obey. Obey what I'm telling you to do. The reason that I'm telling you to do it, the reason that I want you to obey is because I've already shown you an example of it and I obeyed. And let me tell you what happens when you do obey. When you do obey, my joy. My joy you'll be filled with. Now this is Jesus' words. So, if we're lacking his joy, that could be an alarm. That could be one of those built-in alarms that Jesus set in motion. If you're lacking joy, hey, check out your life. Check out your heart. See what you got going on the inside. Because if you're obeying the things I'm telling you to do, you'll be remaining in my love. And not only that, but I'm telling you this so that you will be filled with my joy. Not just a little bit, not just, well, just every once in a while. You know, I feel, you know, I got joy. I got joy in my heart every once in a while. No! He's saying, I told you these things so that you'll be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. So he's saying here, hey, you know what? I'm going to fill you with my joy, but not only that, your joy is going to overflow. Woo! That's exciting. There is no downer right here that Jesus is telling us, hey, listen to what I told you to do. Do it.
Well, gee, if I do what he told me to do, man, I'll miss out on that fun. I'll miss out on that excitement. I'll miss out on this. I'll miss out on that. And gee whiz, boy, oh boy. You know, there's just so much that I miss out on if I obey what Jesus tells me to do. Well, maybe that's what the world says. Do we choose to believe what the world says, or do we choose to believe what Jesus says? Wow. Man, he told us we're full of freedom. Our life is full of freedom, not so that way we can go ahead and do whatever sinful stuff we want to do on the inside. No, 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 no. He's given us that freedom so that way we can serve others in love. And when we're doing what he's told us to do, his joy is on the inside. And our joy will be overflowing. Wow. This is really good stuff. Let's look at the next verse. This is my commandment. This is what I've told you to do. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. Wow. Again, he's not expecting us to do anything differently than what he did. Are we looking for those ways to be loving people like Jesus loved? Are we so filled with zeal? Are we so filled with zeal for the love of God? For honoring him, for fearing him, for respecting him. Does it really hurt our hearts when people aren't showing that love and respect for him? He's created us all. He loves us all the same. Let's go to the next verse. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. He's saying there's no greater love. No greater love. Let's go to verse 14. You are my friends if you do what I command. You are my friends. If you do what I command. Do we want to be known as a friend of God? Let's go to the next verse. I no longer call you slaves, because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. Next verse. You didn't choose me. I chose you. You say, well, how can that be? Like, I mean, no, everybody has a choice and everybody, you know, chooses whether or not to have God or not. He created us all with the same thing in mind as his children. See, he chose every one of us first. He knew us before we were in our mother's womb. He chose us first. But then he loved us so much that he gave us the choice to choose him. He says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. You know, sometimes people say, well, gee, I just don't know, you know, if God's really got a plan for me. I don't know if he's got anything significant for me. According to Jesus, he does. Jesus said, I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. And why has he done it? I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. Wow. These are Jesus' words. This isn't like self-help book 292. These are Jesus' words. Sometimes people might go, well, gee whiz, you know, I don't know. I mean, I've asked for things before, you know, I've asked God for things, and you know, I've said in Jesus' name, and, you know, it just didn't happen. It seemed like, boy, I was doing everything right, and, you know, I was doing everything God was telling me to do, and man, I was filled with joy, and just, gee whiz, it seems like this scripture, I don't know. Do you believe? Believing is where it's at. Are there times in our life where things have happened and we've experienced, you know, a time where we were, you know, man, we were believing God for something and it didn't happen? I speaking from experience on what I know for me, yeah, oh yeah, it's happened. But here's what I choose not to do. I choose not to say, God, your word is not true. I choose to say, God, for whatever reason, I don't have a full understanding yet. of what I was asking for. Or maybe it was my heart condition. Maybe it was something else. But God, I thank you. Your word is true. Your word is something that I can stand on. And I can believe that your word is true. God, sometimes circumstances I don't understand. God, I thank you. Your word is true, and I choose to stand on your word. You know, we find whatever it is that we're looking for. If we're looking for how something will fail, we'll find it. If we're looking for ways of, you know, how I can't do this or I can't do that, we'll find it. Whatever it is we're looking for, that's what we'll find. If we're looking for a way to doubt, we'll find it. We'll find the way to doubt. If we're looking for a way to believe, we'll find a way to believe. So many times I think, you know, talking me. There are so many times in my life where I was believing God for something. And I wanted it to happen for me. And sometimes I even twisted it around and I said, oh, gee, God, man, God, I really want to believe this, and Lord, I don't want to make you look bad. How arrogant and cocky was that of me? I have to believe that he's true. I have to believe that everything in his word is true. If I'm sitting there in my mind going, gee whiz, you know, I really want to believe that for my family member. I really want to believe this for this person or that person. Boy, that person's really needs to this. And gee whiz, man, I want to believe God for them with that. And but, oh man, I don't want God to look bad if it doesn't happen. Is that faith? I just said I wanted it to happen, but if it doesn't, it's not faith. So many times, and again, I'm talking me. There's so many times where, you know, I just go, man, I wanted to believe that in my life, and I wanted to, yeah, just, man, see that come to pass for that person, and oh, whew, Lord, he's not a believer, and man, if that doesn't come to pass, it's not going to make you look good. Does he need me to make him look good? He is good. I can't do that. It's not possible. He is good. No, instead, it has so much to do with stuff on the inside. I'm talking me. Maybe the bottom line is, I don't want to look foolish. Maybe it's, well, gee, I don't want to try to believe that because, man, if that doesn't come to pass, then that's going to hurt my faith. I'm sure all of us can fill in some kind of blank there. Can we go back to that verse we were on? I think it was 16, yeah. You didn't choose me. I chose you. See, He chose us first. And then He gave the option, He put it back into our court. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. Jesus wants us loving other people. How loving is it to be willing to put your reputation on the line, to put what people will think to believe Him that He's everything that His Word says He is. Not what my pastor taught me, not what my Sunday school teacher taught me, not what my good teacher at school taught me, not what my professor in college taught me. No. What His Word says. Do we have things established on what His Word says? Or do we create our own theories? Bottom line, Jesus says, hey, my command, love each other. Does love look differently? Oh, yeah. Love does not always look the same. The love that Jesus showed us, which is what we're celebrating right now this time of year, that love that He showed us, it wasn't pretty. It wasn't something that you just feel all good inside, like, wow, yeah, that was awesome.
pretty gruesome. He willingly did it. Are we ever willingly ready to get dirty? To show love to somebody? His love's incredible. Do we believe that his love is true? Believe that everything that he said is true. The words coming straight from his mouth. He wants us in his kind of love. Why? So that his joy will be on the inside of us. And his joy being on the inside of us will make our joy go to overflowing. Where the people around us, they see that love. They see that joy. Goodness of God that brings people to repentance. It's people seeing that goodness. It's people seeing that love when they're not deserving of love. When we see that kind of love, we don't ever forget it. I've seen it. I've talked to people. I've talked to people that have told me before. Through youth ministry, through pastoring, you know, I've seen people come to me and say things like, you know, my dad. I
My dad did stuff to me when I was a kid. And I held it inside for the longest time. Upset, angry, ticked off, mad at the world. But I forgive him. And when I forgive him, I was able to call him, and I was able to say, Dad, I love you. You know, when I've seen those kind of talks, and I've seen the eyes, I've seen the love of God. Nothing in those eyes said, I hate him for what he did. What's in those eyes? Is a love that man cannot explain. Because man says if somebody does you wrong, somebody does something that you didn't deserve, you should be angry. You should be ticked off. But then in those appointments that I've talked to guys, and they've gotten to that place where they forgive. It's a beautiful thing looking in those eyes, man. Because they're no longer holding on to it. They're free from that hurt. They're free from that bitterness. They're free from that anger. And there is a joy on the inside that just screams out. Looking in those eyes, man, it just screams out. And that comes from the love of Jesus. Father, in Jesus' name,